Hello from the members of Royce City Methodist Church. Thank you for listening to this podcast. We hope you're blessed by this message today. You're invited to join us for worship anytime. You can learn more about our worship options, locations, and how to get plugged into the life of our church by visiting our website, roycitymethodist.life. Today, we hear from our senior pastor, Reverend Chris Everson. May God bless you as you listen to his word proclaimed.
So today is a special day. I'm going to invite some gentlemen up here to share their thoughts on fatherhood. And we did this on Mother's Day, and I know it was such a blessing to hear from the different moms that we had up. I thought, you know, it'd be great to hear from the dads as well. So we'll invite them up here momentarily. But before we do that, would you please join me in the prayer of consecration, which you can find printed on the screen. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. Pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear God, we know that you guide and you lead us. We especially thank you for the men in our lives who have guided and have led us, who have shown the way of Jesus through their walking with you, even during rough and difficult times. We know that your grace is with us, and we pray that you allow this time for us to hear how you have been active and a participant in the lives of the dads around us. So God, we pray that you let the words of our mouths be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So as I was driving in today, I was thinking about my dad. He's been gone for 36 years now. And as I was thinking about him and singing that last hymn, I remember one of my greatest memories with my dad is when I was growing up, and we'd be sitting there in church, and I would lean up against him, and I would hear him sing. Now, my dad wasn't a singer, not like my dad would always say that my brother and I, we got our singing and musical ability from my mom. It was probably right, but I just remember hearing the hymns rattle around inside his chest as we were worshiping together. And that just is such a testimony of what dads can do, what men of faith can do. So the scripture that I picked for today comes from 1 John 2, verses 13 and 14. If you have your Bibles, please look up your Bible and follow that. If you don't, we have those printed on the screen for you to join us. So hear the word of God from 1 John 2, verses 13 and 14. John writes, "I am writing you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, without any further ado, I'm going to invite three gentlemen up. I'm going to invite Joe Mark Summers. Come on up, sir. Nick Butcher, come on up. And Charles Hammer, come on up. We're gonna have a conversation. There's a fun little video I like to watch on YouTube. It's I forget the name of his, Atticus is the character's name on The Chosen. And he talks about, I'm going to give that to you. And he talks about, this is not an interrogation, it's a conversation. So that's what we're going to have a conversation with these three gentlemen. So before we go off, before we get started with the conversation, Let's go down the line here real quick. Just again, say your name and how long you've been a part of Roy City Methodist Church. So go ahead, start us off, Nick.
Nick Butcher.
Nick Butcher, 4 years.
Okay.
Joe Mark Summers, 40 plus years.
Charles Hammer, 3 years.
Yeah. So we have three kiddos, two kiddos, and how many? How many grandkids?
Four
grandkids. Okay, I was right. And one kiddo, and I saw her being escorted out early, which is great. So what John is writing here is that the Word of God lives in us. But as dads, we also have our own words that live in our houses, usually in the form of catchphrases or repetitive advice. What is one phrase your kids hear you say more often than any others?
Gordon, turn your switch off. Usually because I'm trying to get them to go outside or eat or play the drums, do something else, be more of a rounded person. So.
Okay.
Make good decisions.
Make good decisions. Okay.
Mine is, Blakelyn, when I'm gone, listen to your mom. You know, she has to have me constantly say that, and then she's like, okay, I will.
Go ahead, just hold on to it. We'll bounce back and forth this way. So, what is the single best piece of advice your own father or a father figure ever gave you?
I would have to say the one I'm currently using is my dad and my father-in-law were amazing at this. Is they knew when to come in hot and heavy and get my attention real quick, and they knew when to come in slow and steady and say, hey, look, I just need you to slow down, hang on, just listen, and get me to pay attention to what they're trying to say and convey to me to, you know, hey, buddy, just hang on, you know. So they were so great at that, and having a three-year-old that likes to test the waters right now and trying to figure out the situation and figure out, you know, which way to go to make sure that I get her attention the best way I can.
How about you, Joe Mark?
Mine was respect and praying. Mm-hmm. My dad used to get, we lived in a little two-bedroom house, and me and my sister, we shared a room. We had a bunk bed. I was on top. But my dad come in every night, and we prayed. And the prayer we prayed was, as I lay me down to sleep, I pray my Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray my Lord my soul to take. He did that every night.
Mm. So the focus on praying with you was something that he instilled on you. That's awesome. Okay, Nick, how about you?
My grandfather used to always say when he was leaving the room, if you can't be good, be like me. But seriously, though, it was, if you say you're going to do something, do it. So he was always working on other people's houses, and he never gave up. He'd go to Pep Boys like 3 times to go fix a car. So,
yeah, awesome. Is there a scripture that keeps you anchored as you parent or grandparent your kids or grandkids? Is there a scripture that you hold on to?
I would say Deuteronomy 6:6-7. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts, impress them on your children. So, like, discipleship isn't just, like, a weekly thing.
Mine was John 3:16. The little ones got up the other day, and they, you know, worked on it in their Sunday school class. And that was all my favorite. It was, you know, for God to love the world that he gave his only begotten son. And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's a pretty powerful scripture. And it just gives me goosebumps when I seen them little kids up there quoting that the other day. So that was my scripture.
Mine comes from the 3 John, and it's, I get no greater joy than to hear my kids walk in truth. And I think it just doesn't apply to just our kids, but it applies to all of us, you know, knowing that, you know, Jesus is the way and it's the truth. And as long as we follow in him, we can just be glad that our kids are doing that as well.
Mm-hmm. And it's important to realize, I know all three of you are like this, and several dads who are out here are like this too. You just don't look at your kids as your only kids. but you have a connection with every single kid that is in our church. Why is that?
Well, because, you know, as I did many times when I was growing up in the community and faith, you know, just because they weren't my dad at home doesn't mean they couldn't teach me good things, you know. And there was many times when it was somebody that didn't even live near me. You know, I just knew them by coincidence, but they told me, hey, look, you know, this is what you could use to further your career. And I mean, the guy that I've known for 20 years that I didn't think I would ever work for him, he's my boss now, and I love working for the guy, and he taught me so many things. And he helped me through a very good transition that I needed to be in. So just because, you know, you're not there in everyday life, you know, all these kids look up to us, and they need to know that we're there for them and we're there for the truth.
Sunday school was always my big deal. You know, my mom and dad had me in Sunday school ever since I was little. And it was just, it was a blessing, and I've learned from it, you know. They've taught me a lot.
Yeah, I think about when I was a kid, like, I'd learn things from my neighbors, people at church, and, like, it was important for me, so I try to kind of carry that on as well.
Even as I'm being, they're gone. But earlier, I was accused of stealing donuts from kids.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah. I did not steal his donut. I just helped him eat it. Yeah. But no, it's fun being a male figure in our kiddos' lives. Just allow them to see the love and grace of Jesus Christ in us, and hopefully that catches a spark in them, and they have God play an important role in their lives. All right, and now we're going to get some hard questions. How has being a father changed or deepened your understanding of God as our Heavenly Father?
It's taught me a lot about love and patience, because, like, I'm sure God watches me make mistakes, and he wants to step in, and he doesn't, and then I kind of have to do the same thing sometimes. Like, the only way they're going to learn is to make this little error, and then we can talk about it later.
Mine's counting your blessings and being humble. Mm-hmm. Everything, it's worked a lot, and, you know, you can keep him in your life.
Yeah.
Mine would be to truly know that as we followed him and we try to idolize our lives around him, you know, our kids do the same to us, regardless of whatever little habits I have, you know. I'll see Blakeland do the same thing, you know. When I was a kid, I'd jump leaps and bounds off the couches and, you know, banisters and counters and whatever have you. And if I turn around, I look back, and there she is trying to jump off the counter, you know. I'm like, whoa, 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 hey, you know. So I can just see that already in her, and it's like, okay, I need to make sure habits that I'm having, you know, have a good influence on her and make sure that she understands that whatever dad does, that's what our father should do as well.
Yeah. It kind of adds on to that. How do you intentionally try to model Jesus to your kids or grandkids, even on your worst days?
Even on my worst days, you know, every time we sit at the table to have our meal, we talk and we have our prayer and say, look, you know, this is why we do this. We believe in this, and we give thanks every time, just, you know, regardless of whatever little thanks it be the food on our plate or the house that we live in, you know, it's always an ideal that we try to instill in her, that we have a lot of good blessings, and it's because of him.
And keeping the Lord in your life, and also, you know, he can help you get through the hard times and make good decisions.
So, like, I want them to see that I depend on the Lord as well. Like, I want to see them see me struggle at times, so they don't think that I have all the answers, because I don't.
That's very important to let them know that, you know, our faith is a journey. Joe, I'm going to have you. You've gone through some difficult times.
Yes, sir.
Do you want to share how God has helped you through some of those times? Would you feel comfortable doing that? Go ahead. Make sure you get that up there so we can hear you.
He's helped me a lot, mainly through my church family. When I lost my sister, I lost my mom, and lost my dad, and it was tough. If it hadn't been for my brothers and sisters here in this church, I was going through some tough times, and I still hadn't got over it. But I pray every day, wake up every morning, I put my 2 feet on the ground, I said, thank you, Jesus, for giving me another day.
All righty, final question. And I want everybody listening to this one, because I think this one is very important. How can Royce City Methodist Church better support you in the heavy lifting of parenting?
I would just say give grace, because kids are loud, kids are messy, they kick over drinks, and we're trying our best. So.
Through prayer, when you've got problems, you know, we've got a good church group. And there's 3 things I'd like to say. Number one, I love my Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, I love my church. Number three, I love my church family.
Mine would be kind of a two-parter. As my kid is starting to develop, and I'm still developing as a dad, I watch all the other gentlemen with their kids and how they handle them, and it's like, man, you know, Nick over there, he's so much calmer than I would be in that situation. I need to, how do I do that, you know? How is he so calm, you know? And make sure that I idolize myself after him. And I'd piggyback off of him, you know. My daughter's the loudest in the room, and she gets just really excited, you know, every time we sing a song and she's here, you know. So every member that I've talked to, when they hear that, they love it, you know, and that does me so good to hear that, you know, when they say that they love to hear the sounds and the joyous things, even though it couldn't be the words, you know, they're just singing along, and it's like, ah, just love to hear that, and it's like, oh, okay, awesome, because I was about to, you know, so, again, I need to, all right, just revel in it rather than trying to control it, you know.
Yeah, that it's such a beautiful thing as your pastor, being able to look out and seeing the kids singing and dancing and being with you. And I see the eye rolls every once in a while. I know I gave eye rolls to my kids when they were growing up, 34, 32, and 30 now, or 35, 33, and 31, Trace. 34, 32, and 30. I had it right the first time. But, you know, just being a dad and being able to be in the body of Christ together, that's what this is all about. It's about supporting each other and helping even our young dads, being loving seeing little David Lee and Kinsley back there, young in the faith, and being able to walk with them in their journey. I don't take that for granted at all. And that God has placed each and every person in this room with the ability to be an example of God's love and grace for our dads, our grandpas, our great-grandpas, our, you know, those who are waiting, those who are, you know, the stories can go on and on and on. I pray that this has given you a little bit of a glimpse over what fatherhood is like. And I think I can get a nod from these 3 gentlemen here. It's not something you do on your own, right? Yet you have support and love and help and all of that with these 3. I know their wives are absolutely incredible and the work that they do. And as we continue to move forward as a community of faith, allowing that grace to support them, support all the families in our church, through the hard times, through the best times, through the times of laughter. Just thank you for being up here and for sharing your faith with us and sharing your journey of fatherhood with us this morning. Let's give them thanks for being with us this morning. All righty, y'all can go ahead and head back to your seat. It wasn't that bad, was it? It wasn't a root canal or anything, so. So we grow as the family of God together. Brothers and sisters, fathers, mothers, aunts, uncles, cousins, however you want to continue that going on. But my hope as pastor of Royce City Methodist Church is that we continue to find ways to be supportive in ministry with one another, supportive as we raise our kiddos together. But more importantly, we share the love and grace of Jesus Christ in a tangible way, that when people look at us, they see God.